This hour is brought to you by Alpine Credits. Do you own your home and need a loan? Alpine Credits can help. Visit alpinecredits.ca to learn more.
Hour 2 Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 on the TSN app, your home smart speaker, and up on TSN 2. Brian Hayes, the O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles, McLennan, Jerry's Percentages later in the hour. I guess somewhat of an update on the NHL and the NHLPA. Although not really much of an update at all, because it sounds as if nothing is happening. The two sides have decided that they're going to take their ball and go home, and they're not talking now because the owners and Bettman wanted to change the CBA that was agreed to 4 months ago, and the players, I guess, are not happy about that. So now they're just not going to talk. And I knew this was coming. You can just see it coming that they're going to have this public spat, and maybe they won't technically speak on the record, but they'll leak it through the media, both sides, and they'll make their case, and they'll go back and forth, and then at some point there'll be a deadline. Like, we got to have an announcement tonight, and it'll be a miracle that they had one, and they'll get applauded, and they'll play their 48 games and go on.
You know what season it already is? Pierre LeBrun's classic one today where he said, next week's really important.
Yeah, the next 7 days will be very important. You know what? They're not wrong, but Hayes, you've been on this, and I would agree with you 100%. This looks like baseball all over again. And in the back of their minds, they've got, what the framework is going to look like, where they're willing to go financially, both sides. I mean, cooler heads are going to prevail here. This is their livelihood. This is their business. They're not just going to throw it into the ocean and leave it and wash it or flush it down the toilet for a year. They're going to play hockey. It's just got to figure out when and where and all of that, because semantics are going to be a big part of it.
That's what's so aggravating is I think they have figured it out. I believe that Bettman and company are looking at a 48-game season. It's something they're familiar with. They've done that in past lockout seasons back in 2012 and 2013, back in 94-95. They have the template for it. Those seasons began around January 20th, I believe, January 19th. Yeah. And maybe that's when this one starts up, although those, I believe, were done with the intention of being finished by the middle of June. I think the NHL feels like they can push it to the middle of July, or might be willing to do that. But that's my sense, is that it's eerily similar to what baseball went through, and it turns out baseball knew all along. They were playing 60 games and when they were going to start, and everything about them starting on July 4th was bogus, wasn't going to happen, and both sides knew it. Right? Like they both know it. The NHL knows what they know and the PA knows what they know, and they're familiar with where this is going. And I hope I'm wrong. I hope out of nowhere they just come together and they find a way to play more games. I'd prefer more than less.
Yeah.
But, it feels like 48 games, give or take, starting maybe around January 20th, maybe into February, and that's probably where it's going to go. And between now and then, they won't talk, and then there'll be some breakthrough. Bill Daly will reach out. We've played this game so many times. It's so stupid.
Yeah.
Like it's the same thing as the during the lockout stuff. Yeah.
Yep.
They haven't talked for a while.
I know it's big business for both parties, but at the end of the day, with what's going on in the world, just for the betterment of the fans, isn't this like, come on, guys, like just let's get this together for the fans alone so they don't have to think that we're going through this garbage again and have a bunch of people say, piss on the NHL, I'm not watching it, I don't even care when they come back. Like, of all times, really, can't you just put it together? I'm not blaming anybody, certainly not the players, and I'm not, people don't even start with those rich pro athlete hockey players wanting more money. That is not the case right here.
They had a deal done. Like, they had a deal. But, the economy changes, the projections change, and as we know, they agree, they get 50%. And if it's 50% of $500 million instead of $750 million, then your numbers are going to change.
It's all big numbers, Bri. I just think for the fans, it's the last thing that they want right now.
You're right.
Come on.
You're right. They don't want it, but also, in looking at the framework, the owners have crunched the numbers, and what basically they had decided to do, especially with escrow, scaling down, is the owners have asked for a little bit more escrow to kind of even things out in the last couple of years, because what the league is doing is trying to push it onto the next generation, which I had no problem with. You're negotiating for a 10-year-old right now, for somebody who's going to be in the
NHL.
Right,
someone will get hit in 2026 or a little bit later than that.
You're negotiating for a 12-year-old, you know, this the age. But we did that in our negotiations, too. The rookie cap was one of the things that the players were fine with because
Didn't affect the veterans. You've been through it.
Right, so we've gone through all of this, and I agree. Nobody, especially fans sitting at home dying for sports, want to go through it because there's no sympathy for either side. And we've gone through this several times. And Hayes, you weigh in on it because you have the pulse. I've always said this. You have the pulse of you're the voice of
the
Toronto sports.
Idiot. I am the average idiot.
No,
is that what you're calling me?
No, you have
the voice of reason for sports media in Toronto.
In Toronto.
Right. That's what Dwayne Casey would say for sure, and I think you guys would agree with him. Yeah, no, I guess what I'm saying is I feel like we're gonna hear a lot of the same, maneuvers. You know, I bring up the Bill Daly thing because I remember that happening back in 2012, 2013. He flew into Toronto in the middle of the night, and he met with somebody from the PA. And, like, we report on that like it means something. But the fact is, there's an end game. They're not going to just wipe out the season. They can't. They cannot diminish their brand to that extent. The players don't want to do that because then they'd lose everything. And the owners can't do that because their brand would be so drastically diminished. And then your franchise value would significantly sink. So it's not going to happen. They're going to play. But you're going to see back and forth, got to have this, got to have that. Could there be a breakthrough? Oh, no, now there's not a breakthrough. And then out of nowhere it'll be, we figured it out, 48 games, we start January 23rd. So I guess what I'm hoping for is we can avoid all the ridiculous, posturing.
Yeah.
And it'd be great if Bettman and Fear could both come out and say, listen, we're going to play. Yes, we got to work some things out, but we're playing. So we can't wait to get back on the ice. Okay, cool. Let us know when we need to play.
Yeah.
But when you hear it's like maybe the season will be shut down, maybe they'll cancel, maybe the players won't show up, that's when it starts to bother people. Because A, you don't really believe it, and B, no one wants to see it get to that point.
Agreed.
I think that's where most people stand. The baseball offseason, we had a trade today. We had Charlie Morton sign, was it yesterday or a couple of days ago? So some things are starting to happen. But we're waiting for more. There's some big names out there via free agency, some big potential names out there via trade as well. And to chat about all of that, we're joined now by MLB Network and MLB.com insider Mark Feinsand joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. How you doing, Mark?
I'm good. We better have a hockey season. My Islanders have some momentum coming off of last year.
Yeah, well.
We don't talk about those Islanders.
Yeah, we don't like the Islanders. We're not fans of them.
Well, hopefully we can still be friends.
Yeah, of course we can. Yeah,
I'm a fan of the Islanders.
you're an alumnus.
I was drafted by them. Yeah, exactly.
That's right. That's true. Noodles played
for them. I grew up during the glory days, so they caught me early, and I've gone through some really lean years ever since, so. It was nice to see them make a run last year.
Yeah, that is a good point. Like, if you were an Islanders fan when they won 19 rounds in a row in the playoffs, like, did you realize how spoiled you were, Mark? Like,
no,
how
I was
ridiculous
like,
that
I was? I was like 7 through 10 years old. I was just sort of, my grandparents were season ticket holders, and I was being indoctrinated into the, into the sport and loving it. And, when you're growing up and your team wins every playoff series for 4 straight years and gets to the Cup the 5th year, you really don't know any different. You assume it's going to be like that forever, and then reality.
Then Mike Milbury
reality
gets hired.
Slaps you in the face, and then you go through about 30 years where you're not so much. But it was a great run this year. It was a lot of fun being able to watch it with my kids and see them get excited about it. So hopefully they can carry some of that momentum and give us some fun hockey to watch.
Yeah, well, there's a bit of a connection there with the Blue Jays. The Blue Jays made it back to the playoffs, albeit it was kind of like a backdooring into the playoffs based on the expanded playoff situation and, it being a shortened season. But still, they made it for the first time since 16. And from 17 through 19, there were some lean years. But they feel like they're an up-and-coming team. They've basically got a clean slate in terms of the books. They really don't have a lot of money that they're spending right now. Ryu's getting paid, but he's worthy of that. Roark, they've got for another year. He's not worthy of what they're paying him. Grichuk's making some money. They're still paying Tulowitzki, but outside of that, really not much. And they are connected to almost everyone. Like, it's laughable. Anyone that might be available, somehow the Jays are lurking in the background. Can you put that into perspective, Mark, based on what you're hearing? Like, how much significance is in these reports that the Jays are not only you know, lurking, but they are going to be active and they are going to spend some money and they're going to significantly upgrade here.
They're the New York Mets North, right? They're
right.
The team that everybody wants to talk about and everybody's connecting everybody to. It's got to be an encouraging sign if you're a Jays fan, just because whether they get these guys or not, clearly they're in the market to improve. And, you know, you don't hear, you know, all these players being attached to Philadelphia. You don't hear all these players being attached to Boston or any of these other big market teams that could certainly use them as well. So, you know, the Jays have certainly let it be known that they want to get better. They are willing to spend some money. And, you know, I think the biggest impediment to signing any of these guys might be just the uncertainty of 2021. And are the games going to be in Toronto? Are they going to be in Buffalo? You know, players like to know a little more certainty about where they're going to be playing their games. But if you're looking to sign a long-term contract, you know, that's something you may have to deal with in year one. But you have to assume that years two through, you know, three, four, five, whatever it may be, would be in Toronto. And, you know, certainly with a young up-and-coming core and some really impressive young talent and having taken a step forward, I would imagine that Toronto is going to be a place that players are going to, you know, seriously look at.
What is the deal with DJ LeMahieu? I'm just reading up on the guy today, and it's like the Jays might be in on him, Yankees, Mets. Well, how come the Yankees haven't kind of got that done with him? It just seems like a star player. It's usually a lock that the Yankees kind of dial it in, and the Jays are mentioning that too.
Well, I think with LeMahieu, it's there are a lot of teams obviously interested in him. He's a great player. He's had two great years on a you know relatively undervalued contract that he signed with the Yankees 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. And the Yankees know that there's going to be a competitive market for him. They're not going to go out and just start overpaying right away. He wants to come back from all indications to New York. So they know that he's not going to sign somewhere else without letting them, giving them a chance to match or exceed and bring him back. So I don't think the Yankees are in a rush where it's, well, if we don't get him soon, we're not going to get him. And, you know, well, like you said, when the Yankees have a player of his caliber and they want to bring him back, they bring them back, right? I mean, I can't think of the last, you know, sort of marquee free agent the Yankees have had who they have let walk away who they wanted to keep. And, you know, you think about Robinson Cano was let go. They offered him 7 years and $175 million, knowing full well he was not going to accept that. He was looking for $200+. They were not going to offer him $200, and they were content to let him walk. Turns out that's been a good move. He's had two failed drug tests since then, and his career is now, you know, sort of in jeopardy with 3 years left on that contract. But every other marquee free agent they've ever had who they have wanted to keep, they've kept. So I have to think that when all is said and done, LeMahieu will wind up back in New York, unless the bidding gets to the point where the Yankees say, well, now he's overpriced himself. We don't think he's worth whatever that contract is. They had an enormous amount of financial losses this year, and I know everybody sort of snickers at that and says, to the Yankees, they have plenty of money, and they do have plenty of money. But this isn't George Steinbrenner. This is Hal Steinbrenner, and he is a businessman first, and if the losses were as big as we're led to believe they were, I don't know that the payroll is going to go up next year. So, you know, depending on what LeMahieu's looking for and what other offers are out there, maybe they let him walk. I think at the end of the day, he'll be back, though.
With Mark Feinstein from MLB Network and MLB.com. And that's where when the Jays come into play, they have an ownership group that is worth a fortune. Like, they're owned by a corporation, but technically they are worth billions and billions of dollars. But that's not how they operate. You know, they have a budget. They have to work within the confines of that budget. And Mark Shapiro is a guy who thinks small market first because that is his history. So I do not picture the Blue Jays drastically overpaying for anybody. You know, I don't see them going $20, $30 million past the Yankees if the Yankees feel like they valued appropriately a guy like LeMahieu, which, you know, leads me to believe maybe the Blue Jays would be more prone to making a trade.
Would they have to overpay by that much, Brian, to get a guy they wanted?
I think, you know, I don't know about 20 or 30 million, but Mark, like you said, it's common knowledge. LeMahieu wants to stay with the Yankees. I would think if it's only an extra 4 or 5, 6, 7 million, he'd probably stay in New York.
I would think that's probably true. Well, when you look at the other free agents that are out there, I don't think Springer has that same situation with Houston.
Right.
I don't think, you know, Bauer is certainly up for grabs no matter what team you're looking at. You know, Ozuna, Real Muto, these guys are not attached to their incumbent teams to the point you know, that LeMahieu appears to be. And, you know, it's interesting. This year, given what happened with the shortened season and all the financial losses, if you're a team that's willing to spend money this winter, I think there's going to be a lot of value out there to be had, because of the 30 teams in the league, you have to figure that 15 of them aren't going to be in the market to spend money. Then there's going to be some of the usual suspects that are never in the market to spend money. And I think you're only going to have a handful of teams, maybe a half dozen, that are really looking to go out there and be aggressive. You know, Atlanta's obviously already been aggressive, signing Smiley and Morton. You know, I think teams like the Yankees and Dodgers are not going to be out there aggressively spending money. The Yankees might spend money to bring back LeMahieu, but I don't think they're going to be in the market for a Bauer. You know, so I think there's going to be a limited number of teams, the Mets, the Jays, the White Sox maybe, that are really looking to spend. And if you're willing to spend in a winter where very few teams are, the prices might not be as sort of exorbitant, you know, as you'd think they might normally be. So there might be some value out there to be had if you're willing to give a guy a four-year contract.
Yeah, that hopefully is something that the Blue Jays would be willing to look towards. Again, they don't have a lot on their books. They are willing to spend. They're not going to spend like the Yankees or the Dodgers, but being in the top 10 in payroll has happened in the past, and I would expect it will happen again in the future. But I think they've also got, I know they've got, a great farm system, you know, a top five farm system in baseball. And I look at a guy like Blake Snell, and he is reportedly available. Now, it's within the division. I don't know how comfortable Tampa would be trading him to the Blue Jays, but he's got 3 years left on his deal. He's 27 years old, and he's a perennial ace. Like, that's a guy. What's the price looking for Snell if you're going to get in on him?
Well, I think you can just look no further than what Tampa Bay has done in recent years with guys like Chris Archer, David Price, James Shields, where they've traded those guys sort of at the peak of their value with 2 years or so. In this case, it's 3 years for Snell left on their deals. They got a great deal. They robbed Pittsburgh with Austin Meadows and Tyler Glasnow. You know, Price, they got a bunch back. Shields, they got a bunch back. So, you know, you're going to have to pay to get a guy like Snell, who is on a relatively team-friendly 3-year, $39 million deal, which for a team like the Jays is very team-friendly. For a team like Tampa Bay, that's a huge chunk of their payroll. So teams look at it differently. What you and I may think is club-friendly, a small market team like Tampa Bay or Miami may think differently. So, you know, Eric Neander in Tampa Bay is one of the best executives out there. I don't think he would be afraid to trade within the division, right? We've seen, he traded Nathan Eovaldi to the Red Sox. He's made trades within the division before. I think if he thinks that that's the, you know, that the Jays have the best offer for Snell, and that's the one that's gonna, you know, make the Rays the most, you know, formidable they can be going forward, I don't think he would hesitate to pull the trigger. You know, when you're a confident front office and you have full belief in your system and your process, and you've had the success in doing that you've had before, you know, you don't really worry about where he's going. You worry about how it's going to affect your team, not how it's going to affect the other team. So Snell is certainly a guy. You know, I mentioned Bauer. He's the premier pitcher on the free agent market. But past him, you're looking at, you know, Jake Odorizzi and Taijuan Walker and Masahiro Tanaka, not big-time number one pitchers. So if Tampa Bay makes Snell available, or if the Reds make Sonny Gray available, those are, you know, the number two and three pitchers on the market all of a sudden. So I think there could be a lot of movement there. And like you mentioned with the Jays, they don't have a lot on the books. I think they have, what, $35 million committed in guaranteed contracts in 2022 and 2023. So there's a lot of wiggle room there if they want to get aggressive.
Absolutely. He is Mark Feinstein from MLB Network and MLB.com, Baseball Insider. Great catching up with you, Mark. Thank you for doing this. Happy holidays tomorrow. We'll do this again down the road.
Anytime. Happy holidays.
There he is, Mark Feinstein, again from MLB Network and MLB.com, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Experience the low-maintenance cost of driving a self-charging hybrid electric from Maple Toyota. Purchase in person or online at MapleToyota.com. Make the switch. Drive a hybrid.
You mentioned the Jays, Hazy. I think the Mets are going to come over the top. New ownership. I guarantee you he's super-duper horny to make a move.
Yeah, there are
several moves, and he just wants to put them. He probably hates the Yankees' guts, and he has buddies that says whatever, and he's going to want to be really involved and get really engaged as soon as this offseason. You know it's coming.
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, he Feinstein said that the Jays are kind of like the Mets North. But the Mets are even more brash about what they have and how crazy they're going to get. like that. Steve Cohen, the new owner, said, I expect to win a World Series in the first 3 to 4 years. Yeah. He's Steve Ballmer. Like, he is. He's the Clippers owner, and now he's in New York with the Mets. He's going to be loud. This is a vanity purchase. He's worth a fortune.
And his other comment, his follow-up comment was, we're in a major market, and I expect our budget to reflect that.
Right. Which is music to the ears of a Mets
fan.
But you
players,
spend it
everybody.
You got to spend it appropriately, right? Like, just being crazy and spending money to spend money, it doesn't get you anywhere.
Yeah.
No.
Right? Like, at some point, you got to connect. But I could see LeMahieu being a guy they target just for the sake of it, to steal him from the Yankees.
Yeah.
You know, we'll keep you in New York. We'll pay $20 million more than whatever the Yankees pay and drive over to Queens. You know,
where do you think this Stroh show ends up?
He took his option. He stayed in New York.
That's right. Yeah, sorry.
He picked up his option, of which is a smart play. It's like $18 million or something.
Right, and, that's right.
Yeah, he talked a big game, though, about where am I going, what am I doing, and then it's like, I'll take the qualifying offer.
Yeah, then he said to his new owner, the buddy, I can't wait to move forward with the new owner. Can't wait,
pal.
Just come on.
Well, he opted out, right? Like, he never pitched either during the season. So, you know, I hope he'll take the qualifying offer. What you know, he's a roller coaster arm. Like, he's a guy that goes up and down. He has great seasons and then poor seasons, and he is what he is, but he took the deal, and he should. That qualifying offer was a pretty good price. We'll get into the Diego Maradona passing as well. Just it's moments like this where you realize how big of a superstar he was, clearly.
Yeah.
But just how massive the sport of soccer is around the world, that, you know, it doesn't register so much here. We're in the bubble of the American sports scene. I mean, that's what we feed off, clearly. Our big three teams all playing the American sports leagues, NHL, MLB, and NBA, even TFC, MLS is largely American-driven. And we think of, like, superstars in Canada and the States, and they ring out. I mean, Michael Jordan is an international brand, clearly. Tiger Woods is an international brand. But it's a different beast when you are a soccer legend. You know, like, when you are on the international stage and you pass away, it's just all four corners of the globe are going to commemorate you and look back on your life. And, you know, the guy's a player, was just a magician. Like, unbelievable. But, you know, the back end of his life was, he's been unhealthy for quite some time, you know?
Yeah. That's the biggest thing. It's, you focus on that instead of, you know, what he brought on the field. He was so amazing. But,
yeah, it was distracting. By the end of his life, you're like, okay, you almost forget how great of a player he was. Yeah. But the guy was, he was unbelievable. And he passed away at the age of 60. Ray Farrar will join us. Ray, into the 6 p.m. hours coming up. Jerry's percentages. We've got an elongated Jerry's. We've got, I believe, some takes. Maybe some MVP pick'em. Maybe some confirm or deny. There's a lot to get into. A lot to chew on here. Jerry's percentages next.
You're going to want to hear this.
Jerry's percentages.
I don't love being commissioner as much as I used to. I actually love it even more.
That's the voice of a f***ing
Hall of Famer.
Are you kidding? Have you been out drinking?
Jerry! You're all pigeons. Filthy, filthy pigeons.
It's Jerry. G-E-R-R-Y.
Why does he spell his name? If we ever... Like, why does he?
It's when he called.
Never talked about that.
I don't know that. I don't. He just. He. What's when he called Philip Pritchard in Chicago, and he just left a message. It's Jerry.
Okay.
And I don't know why he felt the need to spell it out for Philip.
Right. Like, if I call and leave my name, I don't say B R Y A N. I just say,
no,
call me back. It's Brian.
But, I don't know why he did that.
I kind of love it.
I like it too. It's just. It's kind of unique, and it's very Jerry-esque. And Mullins actually telling me apparently that was his voicemail to Snoop after Snoop ruined the All-Star game by being the DJ during the skills competition and not censoring his own songs, which
was tough. That was a tough look.
Really tough. Like, really, really. And those songs had some words in it that...
You know who's back up in this mother...
That's on NBC... Sportsnet, the whole nine. Jerry's percentage is brought to you by BPC, Best Portuguese Chicken. From 2 people to 300, let BPC, Best Portuguese Chicken, do the cooking. Head on down to 942 on the Queensway or online at bestpc.ca. You guys ready to hear from Jerry?
Yes.
Later,
Jerry is starting to get a Jones on for the psychedelic high of canceling another season. So watch yourself, because when Jerry starts tripping on lockout SD, no one's safe. One pill makes Jerry larger, and one pill makes Jerry small. And the ones that Donald Fear gives you don't do anything at all.
Wow.
Go ask Jerry when he's 10 feet tall.
This is so stupid.
It's ridiculous.
And if Jerry goes chasing rabbits, and you know you're going to fall, tell them a hookah smoking Bill Daly has given you the call. He called Jerry when he was just small.
That's enough.
All right, enough of this hippie sh**. It's time for the hot takes.
Okay, that was Please. That was that as was, stupid as we've ever done.
That was the worst one. That was the worst one.
It was the first time I've heard it. I thought that would play better for Jerry, but that one hurt.
It was tough.
That's Jerry's not good, eh?
Oh, my
Jerry's
God.
Jerry's vocal.
So bad.
Jerry's vocals can't put up with that.
Yeah.
That was tough.
I think we got to end the singing from Jerry.
Yeah, he can't do
stop.
It.
It's so
Let's
stupid.
Get to the takes.
Let's get to the takes.
Lots of haters out there towards Lamar Jackson and the Ravens. But they better check themselves because Baltimore is a lock to make the playoffs.
Lock Ravens to make the playoffs.
Wow.
According to Jerry.
I think it's 50. I'm going right down the middle right now. 50%. They're supposed to have a tough game tomorrow and get dummied by Pitt.
Postponed, though, right? Like, the Steelers are freaking out, too, online about...
Why wouldn't they? Why did Green Bay... Why didn't San Fran... They had to play Green Bay. Green Bay just got to dummy them. Bunch of guys out. Why was that game not called off?
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, but it's COVID. You're 10-0. Like, what you want to take advantage of a team that's struggling? Like, shouldn't you have more confidence?
Of course you do.
Yeah, but
dude,
just...
who cares? It's a win is a win is a win. Yeah. That's why they made the comments, this is a joke, blah, blah, blah. It's because Green Bay got to dummy San Fran with all those guys out, and Pitt wanted to do the same thing. Regardless, my percentage is 50.
50% the Ravens make the playoffs. Noodles?
I'm a little higher. I believe in them. I'm going to go 64%.
Well, as it currently stands, they're out. You know, like they're 6-4, they are out. But it's do you have faith the Raiders are going to continue to plug along?
Like
what about the Browns? You know,
yeah, I think the Browns will come back down a little bit too. Just maybe that's because I hate watch them a little bit. I should like the Browns. I just don't like their quarterback.
Well,
the way he conducts
Cleveland
business.
Is a team we might have to look at in the Survivor poll this week. I can't remember who they're playing, but it's not a very good team, and they're certainly favored in that. But I look at Baltimore and I look at their schedule and I think they're going to get a ton of wins coming home, right? They're at Pittsburgh. Now it's on Sunday as opposed to tomorrow. I think they probably lose that game. But then they've got Dallas at home, at Cleveland, at home to Jacksonville, at home to the Giants, at the Bengals. They're going to win all those games. 95% they make it.
Wow.
95%. Because you win those games, you get to 10 wins, I think you're in. You know, even in a deep, tough AFC, I think 10 wins will get in. There's a chance they get more than that. I'll say 95%.
Goof on Jerry all you want, but I'm jacked for the Tyson versus Jones fight this weekend. Because when it's all said and done, it will look and feel like a real boxing match. Mike Tyson might bite the guy's ear off. Never know.
Never know.
There it is.
I'm 35%. They could, you know, be ripped and be sweating and doing training and all that. At the end of the day, they're not kids anymore. When they actually get out there, they might be done after one.
They're not going to be throwing bombs or anything.
30%.
Like, yeah, the rules alone, it's supposed to be kind of like a sparring, almost pathetic type of like rules and regulations based on, I guess, the commission in California because they're fighting at Staples Center. But I just think this is about a payday. I don't think the promotion has been overly well – it hasn't been really well done.
No.
And I think these are two legends of the boxing world. You know, they are. They're absolute, you know, superstars of the boxing world. But they are well past their expiration date. This is a cash grab. Feels like everything Tyson does is about cash. And, yeah, they're in shape. They'll, you know, they'll go out and do their old thing. But it's going to be like watching an alumni game. You know, like yeah, it's just, it's not going to be crisp. It's not going to be fast. There's, it's just not going to be that. I think 5%, this thing feels like a real boxing match.
I'm going higher. The only reason being is, and I know that it's not the bad blood or whatever, but we saw and we celebrated last week the Mosca, Angelo Mosca and Joe Capp fight.
Yes.
And how old were those gentlemen?
They were in their 70s,
and,
I think, at
and
that
And they hated each other, and they have hated each other there for years. I think the juices will get flowing, and regardless of the rules, Tyson will get popped, and he's unpredictable. Like, I'm all eyes will be glued on it for me.
So you think it's going to be a good fight? Like, you think it'll feel like a good fight?
Good is going to be a stretch.
That's arbitrary.
But I think it's going to be eventful, put it that way. Like, Tyson doesn't do anything that's not eventful.
Okay. All right.
So
we'll
I'm going higher on that. I'm going to go 48%.
Sticking with the fight game. If Conor McGregor beats Dustin Poirier, his next opponent in the octagon will be none other than Khabib.
I don't know why he had to say it like that.
Yeah, it was like an awkward, like, split second pause.
Can you play that? Play the whole thing again. I need to hear it. I don't know why he is talking like that.
His next opponent in the octagon will be none other than Khabib.
He's off today.
He's just
off
so his natural.
Lost his mind.
Yeah, he's
I think that
locker.
He is off his game, and he needs a week suspension.
Yeah, White Rabbit threw him off by Jefferson's airplane.
Oh my God.
That was just ridiculous.
That's a tough song. That was tough. That's a tough song to do, anyways. It's, and then Jerry.
Gotta be the toughest song to karaoke. Like the
dude,
notes.
You
that
could
she
be a barroom singer, and you can't pull that off. And
no.
Jerry got that. Assignment today.
That's a tough one.
I would love to hear the rehearsal on that one.
Yeah.
Anyway, Khabib McGregor, I say 85% that happens.
Yeah, I'm high on this too. Khabib continues to hammer home the fact that he is not going to come out of retirement.
No way.
Every time he does it, Dana White, like within 24 hours, is saying that he will be fighting. So I think wants to wish it into existence because Khabib sells and he's a superstar and he's arguably
Khabib McGregor gets me on a flight to Vegas. I
absolutely
would go there
it
for
does.
This.
Yeah. Yep. Absolutely. And that's exactly where it's going to be. What the game plan should be. Vegas coming alive. Vaccines are out. COVID. Yeah. Boom, boom, boom. Next summer, come to Vegas. Let's light this place on fire.
Plan it for like a late fall 2021. Yeah. Get the world back cooking again with that fight.
But here's
Love
the thing.
It.
McGregor's got a win in January against Poirier. Poirier can fight. Now, he got him before back in 16. He knocked him out in the first round, I believe. But I'm high on this, too. I'm going to say 70%. Like, that's where it should be going. If you run the business, if you're Dana White, that's what you're begging for, right?
Yep.
Like, this time next year or even a bit earlier than that, in Vegas, packed house, strip is alive, McGregor-Khabib 2.0. It's the fight everyone wants.
I'm 95%. I think it's going to happen because cash is going to be king with that, and they're going to print money for that one.
Yeah, they would. Yep, they would.
Yep.
All right.
Patrick Mahomes will win at least two of the next three MVP awards.
Two of the next three. Now, you might be able to start penciling him in on this one, right? So he needs one of the next two if you believe he's going to get this year's MVP, and I think he's well on his way to doing that. But two out of three is tough.
Yeah.
It is very tough. I'm not sure the last time that would have happened, if it's happened at all. You know, you know, Brett Favre had three. Peyton Manning, I think, has five MVPs. I'm not sure if he ever did two in three seasons. I wouldn't be surprised. We can look that up.
Did you just say Favre had five?
No, Favre had three.
Oh.
Favre had three MVPs. He held the record until Peyton Manning passed him, and Peyton had five.
Okay. I'm 85%. I just think he's that good, and the world knows it. His coach knows it. The league knows it. Now I'm 90%. 90%.
Are you guaranteeing that he's a lock this year?
No,
though?
I'm not guaranteeing that at all. I don't think you should.
Who else is going to be the MVP this year? Aaron Donald?
It's Rodgers is making a bit of a case. Obviously, Russell Wilson, Kyler Murray. There are other guys who are still
in the running.
How can
you start an argument with a guy's making a bit of a case? Like, that's not a strong argument.
Yeah, but it's not a guaranteed lock. Yeah, exactly. Like, every team still got, what, 6 games left to play?
I'll bet you a hundred he wins the MVP.
Well, I'm not taking that bet. But
ask Al's brother if he backs that bet, and then, Hayes, you'll double down on it.
Yeah. If Al's brother believes in that, I'll take the bet. But, I think two of the next three, I'm going to say 40%. He's got
a
shot.
I'm 90.
He's definitely got a shot. But it's a big league with a lot of superstars.
Yeah, I'm lower on this, 32%.
Jozy Altidore has played his final game with Toronto FC.
Yeah, that'd be a bummer. He's a friend of the show. We love Jozy Altidore.
Yeah, we do.
He hasn't played a lot this year due to injury. I believe he's still under contract, but you know the way soccer works with transfers and guys moving around. I would not be surprised if this is the end of the road for him in Toronto. He's a Toronto sports legend. He put forth just – year after year, just great performances, was there for the MLS Cup. But Jovinko has moved on. Bradley, I don't think, is far off from that, even though he signed on a longer-term deal as well. I'll say 55%.
I'm going 0%. He is playing again. He's a legend. He's coming back, and he's our guy. And he watches every day, by the way.
Yeah, we're big fans of Jozy Altidore.
We love him. But you're
sports
just,
a weird business, man.
The captain's not on a long-term deal, by the way. He signed a 2-year extension last year.
Michael Bradley?
Yes.
Look at you, Stephen Caldwell.
Well, do you remember he got wrenched in that game. He was supposed to – he would have had, like, a massive bonus. Remember Michael Bradley? It was supposed to get like
you're right.
$7 million or something ridiculous.
That was last year, right? If they won MLS Cup, I think.
Yeah,
you're right.
And they lost against Seattle. If they would have won, it was like his contract would have kicked in for one more year at like $7 million.
Yeah, you're right.
And they lost, right?
Yeah, that was a big storyline. He tried to play it down. I remember we asked him about that. He's like, wow, we're just in it to win it. I'm like, come on, dude.
Yeah, seven sheets. Like,
$7 million.
Big. I mean, that's Mike Johnson's claim to fame. That's his neighbor, isn't it?
That's his buddy.
Oh, yeah.
They're buddies.
BFF. Yep.
Johnny and Brad's up in North Toronto.
I'm, you know what? I'm low on this because I want him to stay. So I'm 12%.
Yeah, I think we'd all agree. I mean, I'd love to see Altidore back, and there's certainly a possibility it's going to happen. I just, you know, it was a really down year for him, and he's had some issues with the team. Remember, he called out the medical staff with the Bradley injury and the surgery, and there seems to be a little bit of friction between the two sides. We'll come back. We got some more Jerrys, some rapid-fire Jerrys we'll get to. Ray Ferraro coming up into the next hour. We'll get into the NFL, the decision by the NFL to postpone the Steelers-Ravens game tomorrow and the two other games that are on the slate for tomorrow afternoon. We'll start teeing those up as well. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 2. All right, we'll get back into the NFL in about 15 minutes. Ray Ferraro will join us into the 6 p.m. hour as well. Get into a number of things with Ray. But Jerry working some overtime, man. He was in the mood for some karaoke at around 5:30, and he had some pretty good takes. I think a wide variety of takes, right? Soccer, UFC, boxing, hitting on everything. Jerry is a well-versed sports personality. And he asked earlier today, and he said, do you think I could fire up 2 segments and do a little bit of rapid-fire Jerry? And I think we're all good with that. You guys good with that or what?
Absolutely.
Fire away.
Let's fire up some rapid-fire Jerry, starting with the stupid MVP pick'em segment from last week. With the Blue Jays, Bo Bichette or the field?
Okay, remember this MVP pick'em, which was a highly successful bit we did last year. One of our best. We did not get to the Blue Jays, and Jerry's got Bo Bichette versus the field, more likely to be the team MVP this upcoming season.
I'll take Bo Bichette. I think he's primed to really be dialed in this year. I'll take him all day long.
I'll take the field because, you know, Vladdy's lost weight. Maybe dialed in, and you know they've got some promising up-and-coming players, and who knows? Like, they may also bring somebody else to the table. They might acquire. That's right. You get a stud pitcher. You get somebody. Right. All of a sudden, they're the MVP.
That's why I would take the field. I love Bo Bichette. I think he's going to continue to grow as a player. But I think if this – all these rumors are true, and they're going to connect on a Blake Snell or a Trevor Bauer or a Francisco Lindor, there's your – front runner for the MVP. And then all of a sudden you got a lot of talent on this team, right? And a lot of potential options. I think the smart play is to play the field.
Yep.
With the Raptors, Siakam or Lowry?
Okay. Siakam or Lowry, more likely to be the team MVP this upcoming season.
I'm going to go Kyle Lowry. I think he's going to have one last kind of big push here. And Siakam's got to kind of put it together here before the season starts, and who knows where he's going to be at. I still have confidence in him that he's going to regain his form, but I'm going to go with Kyle Lowry having one last push.
I'm going with Kyle Lowry as well, because I think Siakam's got to battle back. Yes, it was a tough stretch, but that tough stretch looked awful. And I think, you know, he's a guy who's going to put a lot of pressure on him. There's a lot of eyes on him. He's got to be the man, and I don't know if he is. I mean, I hope he is.
He's getting paid to be the man. He
exactly.
got a max deal. Yeah, and it kicks in this year, right? So that money's really kicking in for him. But I'm going to go with Siakam because I think it's more imperative that he does play this role based on the fact that Ibaka and Gasol have moved on. That front court is thinner than it was last year. He's going to have to play more minutes, take on more responsibility. And year over year, the growth of this guy – has truly been remarkable. I mean, he's someone that didn't start playing basketball until he was like 14. He went to a relatively unknown college, I think New Mexico State, and just slowly grinded and made his way up and got better year over year. And I expect that to continue. I will take Pascal Siakam. Do we have another MVP pick'em from Jim?
With the Flames, Gaudreau or Tkachuk?
The slam dunk, Matthew Tkachuk, all day, every day. One of my favorite players in the Nash. Not even, shouldn't even on a Jerry's. I don't even know how Jerry got to read that. It's no contest.
Gaudreau, what if he puts up 100 points?
I don't care.
Yeah. Gaudreau 2 years ago had 99 points. Like, and he had statistically a down season.
Okay, Matthew Tkachuk's going to have 40 goals and 50 assists in an 82-game season. There's my MVP. Non-negotiable on that one.
I'm a Matthew Tkachuk on that, too, based on it's not even the points. It's just how valuable he is to that team because he drags them into a war every night, and he can back it up any which way. You want to play skill game? No problem. He can do that. You want to get gritty? No problem. He can do that as well.
I think of an MVP. I'm thinking Matthew Tkachuk over Johnny Gaudreau 100 days out of 100.
I do, too. We all love Tkachuk. I mean, that goes across the board. Like, it's unanimous on the show, and that doesn't happen all the time. You know, we all see players differently, and we view the game differently, but Tkachuk is a rock star. But Gaudreau, I think people are sleeping on Johnny. Like, I will take Tkachuk by a small amount. I don't think it's 100% to 0%. Gaudreau is a spectacular talent who had a down year, and it was a bad year based on his standards. But would I be surprised at all if he goes out there and puts together a prorated 95-point season? No, I wouldn't.
No.
I wouldn't at all. He's that good. But I have more faith in Tkachuk stepping up. So I'll also take Matthew Tkachuk.
Now let's pay homage to Jerry's favorite GM and churn out some confirm or deny.
I can neither confirm or deny that.
The NHL season will consist of 49 or more games.
Deny. We got to move quick here. Deny. Not going to happen. They're running out of time for that. 48 max.
Yeah, I deny as well. I think it's a carbon copy of the lockout seasons. It feels the same timeline.
Yeah.
48 games.
Yeah, I agree.
Austin Matthews will lead the Maple Leafs in points this season.
Confirm, and it's also a Jerry's 100%. Not even a question.
I'm going to deny. I think Mitch Marner's the point getter. Like, they both are. Like, Matthews is going to score the most goals. But Marner had, like, the last 2 years he's averaged, what is it, like 91.5 points?
I think Austin Matthews, it's time to really, for him to establish himself. He's watching McDavid every day. He knows he wants to get his name in that hat with him, McKinnon, Draisaitl.
Yeah. Well, he should be in that category. He's got the capability of
sure.
doing it. Yeah. But I just think Marner has those runs where he'll put together a five-game stretch and have, you know, 15 points.
I hope he does. Right. I hope he does. I really hope he has a big year, and he can have a big year.
Yep.
He can be one of the best players in the league. I want to see him do it.
Yep.
Yeah.
Noodles?
Matthews.
You're confirming? Okay.
Yeah, I'm one confirming.
More. One more from Geraldo.
Sports leagues will have access to vaccines before the general public.
That is a spicy.
It is, spicy, and I don't like it. I don't like the take. I don't know whoever wrote that take. I don't like that person either. Obviously,
Jerry's
we
assistant.
Love Jerry's assistant is a doorknob. We love sports guys, but to give athletes the vaccine before regular people, come on, Jerry and his assistant, ridiculous. I'm denying it.
I'm confirming it. Yeah, I think there might be some confirm the public, you know, the idea, like maybe the leagues can pay
the
for it.
The three of us are Joe Blows. You want Austin Matthews
I'm
to
not
get
saying
a vaccine
I want.
Before.
It has nothing to do with want. Yeah. We're talking about reality here, man, the truth.
And honestly,
they have tests
like
that
they,
we don't get.
And you're right. They have tests because they pay for them. They don't stress on the public sector. That
right.
they pay
right.
for that. And
I didn't like
I
the whole
they're
thing anyway.
Acquire that. They're right. going to acquire
confirm,
that
deny. Fergie's a loser. That question was dumb.
Okay. Shout out to Jerry for putting in overtime. Right. Final hour coming up. Ray Ferraro, we'll get back into the NFL as well. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 2.
Alpine Credits.
Yes, it's your English teacher, Mrs. Nelson.
Uh-oh.
You've been using the word approved quite a lot lately.
True, but...
You know there are alternatives like accepted, authorized, confirmed, validated. Let's try. I own my home and would like a loan.
Accepted-ated.
Alpine Credits, where homeowners get endorsed, confirmed, permitted, allowed, okayed, and approved. Some conditions apply. Alpine Credits.
FSRA License 12616.
This hour was brought to you by Alpine Credits. Do you own your home and need a loan? Alpine Credits can help. Visit alpinecredits.ca to learn more.